Jerusalem means City of Peace, yet it is the most violent city on earth. Learn how Jerusalem will finally live up to its name. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Flurry.
Greetings, everyone. Isaiah the prophet said, "The way of peace they know not." In other words, mankind does not know the way to peace. We have our diplomats running around talking about peace, 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 but we never seem to ever get any lasting peace. In fact, we can absolutely state that we do not. Throughout history, that has been the case. But why is it that way? Why can't we bring peace to the world? For many years, of the recent years in particular, people have tried to bring, many nations, other nations have tried to bring peace to Jerusalem, and they have not been able to do so. In fact, they've had rivers of blood flow out of that city throughout its history. Why no peace? Why no peace? And did you know that the very name Jerusalem means City of Peace? You could think, well, maybe that's some kind of a joke. The word Salem means peace. Jerusalem, City of Peace. But oh, there has been no lasting peace in Jerusalem. But there's still more history to come and a future that's going to change all that. And I'd like to give Jerusalem as an example today of to show why we are not able to achieve or attain peace. We need to know. We desperately need to know now. And the United States and Britain has pressured the Jews over the years to accept a peace process that has repeatedly failed. And so the U.S. and the U.K. have been involved in that and had a lot to do with it. Man does not know the way to peace, and that certainly includes America and Britain. We've shown that by trying to make this peace process in the Middle East work. Why does it not work? Why does it always fail? And there's a reason. There is a cause that we need to understand. Isaiah said, "The way of peace they know not." Man does not know the way of peace. And yet man keeps trying to somehow generate some kind of peace. But they never can. So if there's any time in history that we ought to know about peace, it is now, because we're facing, many nations getting nuclear bombs, and the nuclear war is just imagination stupefying when you think about it. It could drive a person crazy. Notice 1 Kings 11 and verse 13. I want you to think about the number one problem in this world today is that of human survival. Our number one problem is that of human survival. Now, if there was a time when we need to be concerned about peace and how to bring peace, how to usher in peace to this world, surely it is now. And you can prove absolutely that there is a solution. After all, I think we should be expecting that, but we don't do what we need to get that picture into our mind. Notice this stunning prophecy. 1 Kings 11 and verse 13. This is from the former prophets, which are prophecy primarily for this end time. These books were written by prophets. Notice what 1 Kings 11 verse 13 says. "Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to your son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen." Now here is God in the picture. He brings himself into the picture. Well, how is this going to end? We're talking about Jerusalem, and God brings himself into the picture, and he said, I have chosen this city. No other city in this world has God chosen but Jerusalem. Why? What does that mean? What does that mean in, as far as our having peace in this world? Well, I think it has everything, and we need to understand, you see, that even if you look at the name Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city of peace, that the very name itself is prophetic, telling us that we are going to have peace in spite of man, not because of him. That's the big difference. In 1967, they had you remember the Six-Day War between the Jewish nation and Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. And there was a big clash, and the Jews captured all of the Sinai at that time, and the Suez Canal, East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and Golan Heights. All of that in 6 days. There were certainly miracles there that I believe you can prove. But then, of course, there was another war in 1973, the Yom Kippur War, and that was another violent clash that lasted about 2 weeks. But in 1977, President Carter of the United States persuaded Menachem Begin to give back the Sinai to Egypt. Now, that really is the beginning of the peace process in the Middle East. Well, we'll give you land and you sign a paper, and that will bring peace. It's actually done almost the reverse. It has not brought peace, has it? Do you see it? And if most people are right about where Mount Sinai is, it is in the Sinai Desert. And what happened there? Well, let's see now. That's where God appeared before Israel in fiery lightning and thunder and like an earthquake on Mount Sinai, and gave Israel the Ten Commandments. And you'd think, now that gave birth to the people, the nation of Israel. You'd think, well, man, if the Jews or the Americans or the British people had access to that, and they all have a reason to, a responsibility, frankly, to understand that. To know, because of certain blessings God's given them, and I'll get into that another time. I don't have time to get into that today, but think about this, that this is the most dramatic birth of a nation in the world. And what does that history mean to the Jews and to America and to Britain? What does it mean? And their ancestry all goes back to that very event. And we can prove that to you in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. But look, here we have all of these three nations getting together, and America certainly has a grave responsibility here in getting Israel to go along with this peace process or a peace pact. We'll give a little more land, and then everything will be okay. Then we'll have peace. We never, ever have peace. Just the opposite happens. We get closer to war. Look what happened when they gave Gaza back to the Palestinians. Today, it has been taken over by Hamas, and a proxy of Iran, and Hezbollah has taken over Lebanon, which the Jews once had in their hands. And now the Hezbollah is also a proxy of Iran. Both of those two areas, Lebanon and Gaza, geographically join Israel. And Gaza, to this day, continues to lob missiles from time to time into Israel. No peace there at all. And the United States and Britain, as I said, have a great responsibility. But you'd think that men, if they have a history like that, and believe me, America and Britain are involved in that history all the way back to Mount Sinai, And that is provable. We've been doing it for decades, many decades. But if you have a history that begins like that at Mount Sinai, how can you, well, give up the Sinai desert, which is where it's located? How much does that mean to the Jews, to the Americans, to the British? How much does it mean? Well, every time we make a move to have peace like that, we never attain peace. But doesn't Mount Sinai itself give us a picture of how we could have peace? Doesn't that greatest birth of any nation on this earth give us a picture of how we could have peace today? Oh, I should say it does. But you see, the Jews have continued to give land for empty promises, prodded by America and Britain. It all started with giving the Sinai back to Egypt. Then, of course, when they finally made all this happen, there was a handshake between the Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and the Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. Now, here Yasser Arafat was doing he was the chief leader of the Palestinians to bring peace to the Jews. And so they made this pact. You see, another giving up land for peace. And Yasser Arafat was in charge of the Palestinians in the peace process for many years. And he, before he even started negotiating like this, was the number one terrorist in the Middle East. Does that make sense that you could make some kind of a deal with the number one terrorist in the Middle East and somehow you'd get peace out of that? There's no logic in that. And this is a deadly, dangerous issue. And we must, if we're going to avoid great suffering, we must understand how to have peace, not only in nations, but in our own homes. How do you have peace in a home? How do you have peace in a nation? How do you have peace in the world? There is a way, and you can prove it. The Jews have given up Gaza, Jericho, Bethlehem, and the West Bank to the Palestinians. And when you think about that, I mean, the Arabs or the Palestinians came against the Jews, and their goal was to annihilate them, every one of the Jews. That was their goal. And that's unheard of in history, to have a war like that and then give the land back to the aggressor who tried to kill you, every one of you, who tried to wipe you off the map. That's what Iran keeps talking about. But today, the Jews have run out of land to give away. They have very little left, and they have very little land to give away. But it isn't, and it never has, brought them peace. Never has. In Hosea 5 in verse 13, it says this: when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, and they both went to the Assyrian, King Jerob, which means king contentious. So it was an enemy king. But here you have Judah and Ephraim doing that. Now, Judah is referring to the Jews, the biblical Judah. And the Jew is just a shortened version of Judah. So he's talking about the Jews, and they have a wound. What is that wound? And Ephraim is the British people. And they went to get help from Assyria. You know who Assyria is? Well, if you don't know, our book that I mentioned before will prove that to you, and you will be shocked by who Assyria is. And remember, this is a prophecy for the end time if we don't learn how to have peace. And even if just one side would follow that formula or that solution, there would still be peace. There would still be peace. But what is Judah's wound? The Gesenius lexicon defines it this way: the pressing together, binding up of a wound, here used figuratively, of a remedy applied to the wounds of the state. In other words, they have this big wound, but they're just applying a little bandage to it, is what it means. Then Obadiah 1 and verse 7, I'll just read a little bit of that to you. It has the same root word as the one I just mentioned, the word wound. But this wound is defined this way. It's a falsehood, quote, falsehood, hence fraud, insidious dealing, net or snare. Again, it's the same root word, and it's telling you that this is a peace pact that is the wound. It is the approach to trying to bring peace that is all wrong and will never, ever, ever work. Can't work. According to God's word, do we believe that? But if you look at verse 13, where it talks about the bandage, it's talking about this, a little Band-Aid put on a running sore, and men are looking to their enemies. Here are the Jews are looking to their enemies to make a peace pact with. But how much are they, and how much is America and Britain, how much are they looking to the God of Mount Sinai? This almighty, all-powerful God who was so powerful on Mount Sinai that the people didn't want God to speak to them. They wanted Moses to speak to them, and so God did it that way. And this world still doesn't want the God of Mount Sinai to interfere in their lives, and that is a big, big key mistake. And we'll never, ever have peace until we change that equation. We never will. A Jewish fellow a few years ago wrote this, Samuel Schnitzer wrote, "Suddenly, paths of peace are more important than the paths down which we traveled for 2,000 years, more important than our prayers and our faith." Wow. And then he goes on to talk about that we don't pay any attention anymore to prophetic visions. See, peace pact. Peace pact is more important than faith in God. How much faith do we have in the God of Mount Sinai? How much faith in that all-powerful God who could just instantly, that quickly, bring us peace if we would look to Him? And yet we won't do it. Why is that? See, the real wound is spiritual. It's spiritual. And it says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, that the human mind is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's human nature. And we'll never have peace with human nature. We're going to have to deal with getting rid of that human nature before we can ever have peace. But there was a time when the Jews were a terror to the Arabs, and today that's been reversed. So, I don't know if I have time to get into this. I may not have time to get into that. But anyhow, Iran has gotten into Gaza and in Lebanon and Syria, and just really surrounded the Jews. And Iran hates the Jews more than anybody in the Middle East. And they're trying to work out peace pacts with Iran's proxies. And we can never do that. Why? Well, we should be able to see that and understand that if we understood these prophecies and if we understood the Hebrew Bible, we'd know that just from these scriptures I'm giving you today. But there's like a hundred of them to tell you how to bring peace, even more than that. We need some faith in God, but I'll tell you, those peace pacts are a deadly delusion, and we ought to see by now that it won't work. From the very beginning, we've used giving land for peace, doing anything to bring peace, and it's only brought on more war. something is wrong with man's reasoning in the way of peace. They know not. They're trying to work it out themselves, and nobody can bring peace in a family or a nation, and that is God. You will never have peace any other way. I can absolutely, totally tell you that. See, no great nation has ever conducted itself that way, that they're trying to work things out today. It just simply doesn't happen that way. But Yasser Arafat, he was the chief negotiator and the number one terrorist in the Middle East. I think you just have to think about this a little bit and say, well, I wonder if God is, how insulted God is when men will trust somebody like the number one terrorist in the Middle East, but they won't trust God. See, this is telling you what the real problem is and how we can have true peace. It's there in the Hebrew Bible, right before your eyes. These scriptures I'll give you today, I'll have a couple more if I have time, but Henry Kissinger once said, well, there's no other choice than the peace process. Well, that's terribly wrong. That is not a choice of life. Moses wrote that we should choose. There is two ways before us, life and death. Choose life. We're choosing the wrong way. We're choosing a way that God is not involved in it. We're not following God's instructions, and God's telling us what we need to be doing. That needs to change, and change quickly. Verse 6 of Leviticus 26 says that if you turn to God, I'll give you peace in the land. Nobody will make you afraid, and neither shall a sword go through your land. This is what God says, if you will do what I say. Think about that. What a promise God has made to us. What a promise. And I mean, even as Yasser Arafat would talk about peace to the Israelis and to the world, often in private he would talk to people like even in Sweden and other places and say, look, we're going to totally take over in Israel and push them out and destroy them completely. It was always his goal. But somehow we thought, well, if we'll just give him land, then we can have peace. It only encourages a person who thinks like that. And it shows a certain weakness in the people that make that kind of a deal. But now, you see, we need to see the good news. We need to see that there's all kinds of prophecies that tell us that God will give us peace. It says in verse 11 that the diplomats run around saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Where's the peace? They don't know how to give it to you. They don't know how to give it to you. God is going to bring peace to this world. It says in Zechariah 1 and verse 17 that God shall yet choose Jerusalem. And he's going to cause the whole world to look to Jerusalem and bring peace to all of mankind in just a tiny few years. And that too you can prove from your Bible. You certainly can. In Isaiah 2 and verse 3, it talks about the word of God is going to go out from Jerusalem. Read it, Isaiah 2 and verse 3. Well, when is that going to happen? That hasn't happened. The word of God going out from Jerusalem, the way God is talking about here, it's never gone out that way, for sure. Isaiah 66 and verse 10 says this, rejoice you with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you that mourn for her. For thus says the Eternal, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Instead of a river of blood, there's going to be a river of peace flowing out of Jerusalem in spite of man. But we could save ourselves a ton of suffering if we would listen to God now and turn, as he says in Ezekiel, turn. Why will you die, O Israel? He wants you to choose life. Choose God's way, trust God, and He will give you peace in your individual life. He'll give you peace in your nation, and He's going to do it anyhow, very shortly, regardless of what man does. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
Jerusalem means City of Peace, yet it is the most violent city on earth. Learn how Jerusalem will finally live up to its name. No city on earth has ever suffered like Jerusalem. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Jerusalem in Prophecy, to understand how God will miraculously transform this bloody city into a beacon of hope and glory. Learn about the past, present, and future of the Holy City as detailed in your Bible. God established Jerusalem to be a city of peace and will one day make sure that it becomes so. It is actually the city from which God's family will rule the entire universe. But today, the ill-fated peace process in Jerusalem is sobering proof of mankind's pathetic helplessness apart from God. The Jews are surrounded by mortal foes, yet have lost their will to fight. You need God's perspective on these dark times in Jerusalem. Request Jerusalem in Prophecy. You will also receive a copy of Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Hosea, Reaping the Whirlwind. God loves and cares for all mankind. He has a long history with several specific nations, including the Jewish nation in the Middle East. He is crying out to the Jews today, imploring them to heed His warning before it's too late. Jerusalem is headed for the indescribable suffering in the short term, but there is a beautiful ending to this story. Request Hosea, Reaping the Whirlwind. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Jerusalem in Prophecy and Hosea, Reaping the Whirlwind. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.